This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked on Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked on Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Ben Simmons, could he become a Houston Rocket? You know what? I'm fully convinced we're just going to keep having this conversation once a year forever, whoever the next lead guard is for the Rockets. Maybe next year we will be discussing trading Kevin Porter Jr. for Ben Simmons. No, I kid. I digress. Words or whatever. Anyways, we're going to talk about Ben Simmons, and we're going to talk about the latest in the John Wall saga and how that whole situation is playing out. But before we get there, I do want to talk about Dante Exum, and I want to get the specifics on the Dante Exum contract, but I do want to throw out really quick. It's cool that we got the news officially that one Craig Ackerman, very good friend of the show, good friend of mine, is going to be slotting in as the full-time TV play-by-play broadcaster, which means one Matt Thomas will be now the full-time radio play-by-play broadcaster for your Houston Rockets. So congratulations to both of those guys, no longer having to slide back and forth for Craig. Matt no longer doing the PA announcing, unfortunately. If I had an inkling of who I would like to see potentially slot in as the new PA announcer, I'm just going to throw it out here right now. It'd be really cool to see our guy Roosh Williams step in and be able to, I don't know, like wrap the Rockets starting lineup. I'd be down to see that. If you want to see Roosh be the new PA announcer for the Rockets, drop a line. Be interested to see how many people would support that message there. But that being said, congrats to both of those guys. Hopefully, two guys, Craig and Matt, that we will be hearing from on this very show before we get this next season underway. Now, that said, let's dive into the details on the Dante Exum contract. So, Rockets waiving Tyler Bay to make space for the, you know, for the carrying capacity of the 20 training camp contracts going into Rockets training camp or NBA training camp, I should say. Now the specifics on the actual Dante Exum contract, it is a standard NBA level contract. So right now the Rockets are running 16 standard NBA contracts, which is one more than the cap of 15 possible contracts that they can have come October 19th, the start of the NBA regular season. So they will still have to make room for that contract at some point. Obviously, we've spoken about this before. The more than likely candidate, unfortunately, right now as it stands, is Kyrie Thomas, whose contract is non-guaranteed. He would be the easiest candidate to just waive to make a space for Dante Exum going into this next season, unless there is a trade that takes place between now and then. And those are going to be some of the things that we talk about when we get to the John Wall stuff in segments 2 and 3. But the specifics on the Dante Exum contract, it's very akin to the Nene contract of old. So really, the student has truly become the master when it comes to Rafael Stone and Daryl Morey. So if you'll remember, if you don't, let me run you through a quick refresher. Daryl Morey tried to get very cheeky with the CBA and tried to basically turn Nene into a walking TPE, a walking tradable player or traded player exception, by structuring his contract in such a way that the outgoing trade value of said contract would be worth roughly like $10 million. The base value of the contract being somewhere around the $2.6 million range, and then having about $7.5 million worth of incentives, which were deemed unlikely incentives, tacked onto the contract so that his outgoing trade value would be about $10 million because the Rockets had no mid-tier salaries to be able to aggregate in trades back then. PJ Tucker was the closest one, and obviously he was an integral part of what the Rockets were trying to do. Unfortunately, the NBA front office took a look at that contract and said, LOL, and told Morey to stuff it. So Nene's contract was, you know, run through, but it was just for the base amount of the $2.6 million. They did not include the unlikely incentives that Morey tried to get creative with about, you know, total games played and all this other stuff that he tried to get cute with. Now, instead, Rafael Stone was not nearly quite as aggressive with it with the Dante Exum contract, but Dante Exum signing a three-year deal for roughly about $15 million across the entire three-year deal. Now, that's non-guaranteed, and it has base salaries in each of the three seasons of first $2.5 million, then $2.3 million, then the final season, $2.1 million. So for each season, it kind of scales down a little bit. Each year has a trigger date, and the base amount becomes guaranteed as long as Dante Exum is not waived by the guarantee date or the trigger date in the contract. Now, there are two kind of exceptions made in the contract that add to what are now deemed likely incentives. So the opposite of the Nene situation, where Dante Exum has to play 15.8 minutes played per game, along with a personal net rating of plus 2.7 or better to be able to match the incentive or to be able to achieve the incentives that will then create, you know, bump his contract up to about $5 million per year. So the way that it works out, this upcoming season, he's got the $2.5 million base level deal on his contract, right? Then he has a $1 million incentive if he averages 15.8 minutes played. And then he has a $1.5 million incentive for a plus 2.7 net rating. The NBA front office took a look at those incentives and they basically deemed them likely incentives, meaning it's understood that there's a pretty solid chance that Dante Exum will meet the criteria to receive those bonuses. Therefore, his contract, as far as outgoing tradable salary is concerned, will be worth $5 million once his trigger date steps in, which is January 7th, right? Hang on, make sure I want to get that right. Yeah, so Dante Exum becomes tradable on December 15th, but because his contract is not fully guaranteed the base salary of his contract is not fully guaranteed until January 7th, he's only worth about $3.3 million in outgoing trade value upon December 15th. But then once January 7th rolls around and gets here, his contract will be worth the $5 million in outgoing tradable salary. So to recap, Rafael Stone got creative with the CBA, had a, you know, fun time structuring this contract, basically set it up to where Dante Exum is, you know, a nice little $5 million aggregatable salary for any potential trade purposes the Houston Rockets might be looking to, include themselves in as this upcoming calendar season rolls around. And hey, on top of that, right, for the reasons that we talked about before, Dante Exum's still 26 years old. He, you know, was a highly touted prospect coming out, you know, has had a bad rash of, you know, injuries and just a lot of, you know, hasn't had the best luck, right, at the NBA level. So he's not exactly a guy that is, you know, a high risk candidate. And obviously the Rockets are kind of buying low on him right now with these very, you know, non-guaranteed deals, and they could very easily, you know, drop him without any concern whatsoever, because his trigger date is very clear that if he's not panning out, if he's not going to make the rotation, if it's not worth their while, the Rockets can get rid of him quite easily. So I really like this. It's a low risk, high reward play because, hey, maybe Exum pans out and he actually can turn it around and stays healthy and he becomes a, you know, integral part of what the Rockets are trying to do, or at least a serviceable bench player with some good defensive acumen. Or he floats around and he's just a $5 million trade chip that they can throw into a potential deal down the line for salary matching purposes. So either way, I like this move. I think it's a smart play by GM Rafael Stone, and it just continues to show that Stone knows what he's doing. And obviously he worked extremely close with Daryl Morey all these years, but maybe there needs to be a conversation down the line about who was really pulling the strings behind some of these deals and, you know, who may have been the mastermind truly running some of the stuff in the Rockets front office behind the scenes, because obviously Daryl Morey got a lot of the credit, but there was a brain trust, Eli Whitus, as well, being in that core group of executives that were in charge of so many of the moves that the Rockets have made over the years. So again, want to give Rafael Stone his props for being very creative with this move. But with that, I want to dive into some of the John Wall discussion, because that's where all the juicy bits are right now. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Sweatblock, because look, sweating sucks. Like, I'm sorry. It's unless you're at the gym and you're, you know, working up a good sweat there, like, you know, when's another time that you like sweating? I mean, maybe if you're out for a run, sure. But, you know, whether you're running errands or you're meeting up with somebody for lunch or you're going on a first date or, you know, business meeting, all of the above, right? Sweating can be uncomfortable. It can cause you anxiety. It can, you know, really, it can derail your whole day if you're going to sweat through your outfit, your clothes, whatever you're wearing. And you don't have to worry about that anymore with Sweatblock. It's doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per application. They have a dry shirt guarantee. So if Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's been featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by actual firefighters. And hey, those guys deal with extreme heat all the time, right? So Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You basically just put it on at night before you go to bed. The next morning you wake up, wash, go about your day, put on your makeup, go through your whole morning routine, and you are going to have a dry shirt guarantee. So it sounds a little bit too good to be true. So check it out, test it out yourself. Again, dry shirt guarantee. If it doesn't work for you, get your money back. And you can save 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON. Also available at Amazon and CVS. Again, that's 20% off at sweatblock.com when you use promo code LOCKEDON. On. And another message from our friends over at DirecTV, because look, you got, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, right? You got, or you can relate to it, I bet. You got a device that lets you catch the game live, another one that's letting you stream your favorite shows, you got highlights on your phone, and then you've got your neighbor's best friend's, you know, login for all the other good stuff, right? Let me tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle. A great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling the remote, no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Let's dive into the latest in the Jonathan Hildred Wall saga, that of which being, first off, which direction did I want to go with this first? I'll hit on the you know, most recent news, which is a peer of mine, a good friend, Evan Damorell, a reporter covering the Cavaliers, reported that after talking to some folks over the weekend, host over at Locked On Cavs, there we go, that's brain fart, forgot to include that in Evan's luxurious title. But he basically shared the news that after talking to some folks over the weekend, it seems that the Houston Rockets are seriously interested in acquiring 76ers forward Ben Simmons prior to the start of training camp. Things remain fluid, but John Wall would be headed to Philadelphia in a possible trade per sources. Now, here's the thing is Evan's plugged in. Like, I know Evan's plugged in around the league. I don't know if the people he's plugged in with are truly as plugged in with the goings on of the Houston Rockets, because frankly, under Rafael Stone, the Rockets have really kept a lot of stuff largely under wraps. They really have. They haven't, you know, angled the media the way that they had in previous years under the Daryl Morey tenure quite as often as it felt like. You know, I guess I should say, felt like they did it more so during the Daryl Morey era than they have during the Rafael Stone era. And right now, the way that I kind of interpret this is, frankly, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of connections between these two organizations, between the Rockets and 76ers. And obviously they had the previous trade dealings, you know, in the James Harden saga at the beginning of last season. Then now you've got Ben Simmons wanting out from Philadelphia. You've got obviously the relationship that Rafael Stone and Daryl Morey have shared. So to me, part of it might just be Stone and Morey doing their due diligence, kind of kicking the tires on what a trade between these two organizations may look like, whether that's a one-for-one trade where it's just those two teams involved and it really is Ben Simmons and John Wall as the two centerpieces of a supposed trade between these two organizations, or potentially it's those two discussing what getting a third or even a fourth team might look like. Evan, being a reporter covering the Cleveland Cavaliers, lends me to believe that maybe what if it had something to do with Ben Simmons going to a third team, like say the Cleveland Cavaliers, John Wall going to the 76ers, and then some combination of assets and or Kevin Love going to the Rockets, and then the assets back to Philadelphia along with John Wall, because that's an interesting trade permutation. You can also throw the Minnesota Timberwolves into that discussion, right? Another team that has had some rumored interest in acquiring Ben Simmons, but apparently don't want to give up any of their core players to do so. So there's a lot of moving parts here. So obviously you've got the relationship between Morey and Rafael Stone to consider. Also, you have to consider the Clutch Sports angle. So Ben Simmons, represented by Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. John Wall, also represented by Clutch Sports and Rich Paul. So if Rich Paul thinks that getting Ben Simmons out of Philadelphia is his number one priority, but putting John Wall in Philadelphia, it makes him, you know, puts him in a better situation than what he's got going on right now in Houston. I don't necessarily think that Rich Paul is like soured on Philadelphia, but Ben Simmons clearly is. So Simmons wants out. And obviously that relationship is completely strained. Ben Simmons, you know, reportedly isn't going to show up for training camp. The 76ers are trying to get him to show up for training camp. There's very little leverage that Daryl Morey and the Sixers have in the situation. It's very akin to what was going on with James Harden and the Houston Rockets just a summer ago. Now, the thing is James Harden is quite, is a different tier, a different caliber of player than Ben Simmons is a top five player in the NBA. Ben Simmons, with his shooting woes, you can't really even make, to me, you can't make the argument that he's top 10, not yet. Maybe you have this, you know, hope that Ben Simmons could potentially develop and become a top 10 guy down the line, but 25 years old already, hasn't shown a willingness to progress in that area of his game. And frankly, I'm not completely against the idea of entertaining a John Wall for Ben Simmons deal, but we already saw how Daryl Morey valued Ben Simmons as an outgoing trade piece, as the centerpiece of a James Harden trade package just this past season. And now you're telling me that there's a possibility that Daryl Morey might be willing to part with Ben Simmons for John Wall, a guy who's going to be making over $90 million over the next two seasons. And is frankly, you know, a little injury prone, not quite the player that Ben Simmons is. I mean, there's maybe he's a better fit in Philadelphia. Sure, you can make that argument. There's a lot of different ways that you can carry this conversation. But ultimately, I think if you're looking at it from the Rockets lens, there's not a chance in hell that John Wall gets you is good enough to be the centerpiece for a Ben Simmons deal, unless the 76ers are expecting a ridiculous haul of assets back in addition to John Wall to facilitate said trade. And frankly, at that point, if you're considering, you know, having to potentially part with, you know, some of the young core, be it Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, any of the potential rookies that just came out in this past draft, or any of the future draft capital for Ben Simmons, that's where you start having to draw a line in the sand and say, no, it's not worth it at that point. Because at what point do you say, okay, yeah, would you trade John Wall and two or three of the future Brooklyn first round picks for Ben Simmons? I personally wouldn't, because then it kind of catapults your team. Again, a team with Ben Simmons as your best player. And then, you know, you throw in Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Christian Wood. That team could be exciting and it could be interesting. And if Ben Simmons is being brought in as Ben Simmons, the power forward, not Ben Simmons, the point guard, then my interest is suddenly piqued a little bit. But at the same time, I'm still a firm believer that players of that type of breed, when it comes to like, I guess there's certain players in the NBA, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, one Russell Westbrook, who have glaring flaws in their game, who are absolutely future, you know, likely first ballot Hall of Famers, absolutely elite at other areas of the game, but they have glaring flaws that can be exposed and are magnified on the biggest stage in the playoffs, right? And Ben Simmons is clearly one of those guys. And at this point, I'm not confident in his ability to adjust his game, to develop, to get to a point where that's not going to be an issue down the line. So frankly, I'm not sold on the Rockets, you know, trying to acquire Ben Simmons if it means giving up a bunch of assets to do it. If the 76ers are stuck between a rock and a hard place and really can't get Ben Simmons to show up to camp, and there's not a better deal out there, which I'm hard pressed to imagine there not being a better deal out there, then by all means, if it's a John Wall for Ben Simmons deal, I'm kind of here for it. I think that's an interesting possibility. There's also the possibilities again of involving a third team like the Cleveland Cavaliers, like the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Rockets taking some of those unwanted contracts back from those teams, be it Kevin Love or some of the contracts on the T-Wolves, like Malik Beasley, possibly Torian Prince would have to come back, to kind of as like salary cap filler to facilitate a trade. So there's some possibilities there, right? But ultimately, I just don't see a trade happening between these two teams. I'm kind of out on it. But were it to happen, there's an interesting wrinkle that I want to talk about coming up here in segment three about where the NBA salary cap is headed, as well as a couple final thoughts on what this could potentially look like from a Houston Rockets angle and perspective. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Sleeper. Because look, in 2018, fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based on whose players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense and required very little strategy. So in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. The days of losing because your opponent simply had more scheduled games to play in that week are over. The days of mindless daily busy work are over. The days of giving up halfway through the season because of all that busy work are also over. In Game Picks, you pick one game per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, and more. All of that adds up to more strategy and less busy work. Whether you prefer redraft, keeper, or dynasty, Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy basketball, if you prefer building out a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You will not be disappointed. And another message from our friends over at Theragun, because look, you can't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power. And as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. So whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just the stress of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/lockedon. Therabody.com/lockedon. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, with where we're at with this John Wall situation and obviously the Ben Simmons saga and what the 76ers are going to manage to do there, I ultimately don't see the Houston Rockets being the landing spot for Ben Simmons, because I think the price point is just too high. And I think that's where I'm coming away with this from, is it does not make sense for the Rockets to give up pieces of their young core who they have yet to see, you know, really truly have a chance to develop over time, to see where they're at. It doesn't make sense to give up any of the, you know, new rookies that they're getting ready to bring in. And it doesn't make sense to give up a chunk of future draft capital for Ben Simmons, because frankly, you know, I think there's concerns about his game, concerns about where a team truly led by Ben Simmons with him as your number one option can really take you. I do think there's a possibility that maybe the Rockets are trying to kick the tires and be interested as a third team to potentially facilitate a deal. Because if you can get involved in a Ben Simmons deal and send John Wall to Philadelphia and take back a less prohibitive contract than John Wall's, or potentially break up John Wall's contract into two other slightly smaller contracts, or even three other smaller contracts with, you know, varying degrees of years and whatnot on them, then suddenly you're not as hamstrung over the next season or two and forced into a situation where you have to start entertaining a buyout with John Wall at the midway point of this season or potentially next summer. It's great that John Wall has decided to sit out until a trade partner is potentially found. That's incredible. I don't know how, right? There's a possibility that that may not be the case the entire season, right? What if he gets itching to play 2 months into the season and says, no, you know what? I want to play. Right? I'm under contract. I'm healthy. I want to play. Put me in. Right? That could potentially mess up a lot of chemistry, a lot of the dynamics of what this young group is trying to establish together. Do I think he's going to, you know, suddenly renege on his promise and you know, turn around and say, nah, I want to start playing it. And I better start if I'm going to play. No, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it's a possibility. And I think as long as the Rockets are doing their due diligence, trying to find a suitable home for John Wall. And I think that's exactly what they're doing here, right? Is if there's a chance to get in on a potential Ben Simmons deal and be a third team in this deal just to help kind of facilitate things and have John Wall's sizable contract be used as salary to either send to Philadelphia or, you know, it in place of Ben Simmons, and maybe they're getting some more assets back later that they can then flip into a potential, you know, another piece to pair with John Wall, because John Wall by himself is not a great return for Ben Simmons. But if you're talking about John Wall and assets and young pieces and whatever to then flip into another guy who can help the 76ers continue to play and compete at a high level, then I think you're in a much better situation overall. This situation that Morey finds himself in with Ben Simmons wanting out is so different from the Houston Rockets situation, because the moment James Harden said he wanted out, especially after the Russell Westbrook trade happened, the Rockets were not going to be contenders without James Harden. The 76ers still have Embiid. They still have a competent roster. They still have a competitive roster, even without Ben Simmons. So they do have to get something of value back. They can't just flip Ben Simmons for future picks for a historic draft haul and then, you know, sit on their hands and see how the season goes. They need to remain and be competitive now, especially in an Eastern Conference featuring the reigning champion Milwaukee Bucks and the super team Brooklyn Nets. They need to make a move and figure something out that's going to help extend their chances to win right now. And that's the kind of rock and a hard place that Daryl Morey finds himself in. And I'm not envious of him being in this position, but again, as I've commented on this before with the Ben Simmons situation, it is a bit of karmic retribution that Daryl Morey left the Houston Rockets high and dry and now finds himself dealing with yet another star who wants out. So sorry, Daryl Morey, but that's your just desserts. I do want to spend a brief moment talking about this interesting thing that I was reading about with the NBA and, you know, looking to sign their new broadcasting contract here, you know, soon, basically aiming for an over $75 billion deal that would compensate the league with $8.3 billion annually. According to a league source, projections indicate that a $171 million salary cap is possible, assuming no cap smoothing by 2025. So we've taken a few episodes to highlight, most recently with a good friend of the show, Prodigy, highlighting the fact that summer 2023 is a really pivotal moment for the Houston Rockets rebuilding timeline, because that's the summer where this young core will have had a couple seasons to play together, a few seasons to gel, get up to speed at the NBA level, really start to see what this young core group of guys has together, and then decide whether or not they want to commit big money to Christian Wood that summer, right? So as well as like Jae'Sean Tate and all those guys. So summer 2023, there's some big name free agents that are out there, and the Rockets are going to have a lot of money to play with should they not take on any more long-term money past that 2023 offseason. And that's why John Wall's contract, it's kind of important, at least in my eyes right now, that the Rockets don't trade him and bring back yet another contract that's going to extend even past that offseason, because then they kind of effectively remove themselves as players from that summer of free agency if they've got another 40 million some odd contract on the books from another aging player who they've got to try and figure out, okay, how do we get this guy off the books, right? So in addition to that summer being an integral point of the Rockets rebuild and hopefully being able to throw big money at a free agent to bring in a more established star type player to bring in to pair with this, you know, up and coming young core, potentially 2 years down the line, summer 2025, the NBA could be headed for another salary cap spike, very similar to the salary cap spike we saw in summer 2016, leading into the 2016-2017 season that saw the Golden State Warriors be able to add one Kevin Durant to an already impressive roster, an already 73-win team. So ultimately, I think it's really crazy that the Rockets potentially have a chance to, one, obviously cultivate and grow this Rockets young core. Keep everybody on team-friendly deals because everybody's going to be on their rookie-scale deals. And then even as they're rolling into their extensions and whatnot, 4 years from now, we're talking about the current crop of rookies, that won't kick in until that summer, right? So they'll be restricted free agents that summer 2025. Guys like, you know, Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, all of them, they'll be restricted free agents that summer. The Rockets can, you know, work on negotiating the extensions and all that stuff. But that summer, there's a potential for there to be another cap spike where then the Rockets, as long as they haven't tied up significant money elsewhere, or even if they have tied up significant money, they could have roughly like $50 million to play with. Cause we're talking about the salary cap jumping from the mid 120s, right? 120 something all the way up to 171. So like a $50 million spike, which would just be absolutely insane to fathom, to think that the Rockets could potentially go from growing a young core to adding a potential big name free agent to then having another opportunity to add another marquee free agent just 2 years down the line as a gift. Because if the NBA Players Association decides to not go for the cap smoothing route, which they didn't want to do before, they didn't want to roll out the money incrementally, they wanted the money immediately and right away. So history has shown us that that's how the NBA Players Association decided they handled it before. If they handle it again that way, then potentially another gigantic cap spike for the Houston Rockets to take advantage of. And we're already, you know, thinking that they could be significant players in summer 2023 and then be, you know, on the rise towards championship contention or aspiration again that following season going into the 2023-2024 calendar season. If this happens, if this, you know, NBA salary cap spike happens further down the line, then they could, you know, if they've made the right moves to that point, then they could be another serious player that summer with just, again, a gift wrap asset of, okay, here, go take your pick of the free agents this summer, because there's all this money to play around with. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought it was a very interesting story, and also not the end of the world if the Rockets decide that they wanted to bring back or potentially try to bring Ben Simmons in, you know, as by part of a John Wall transaction, because Ben Simmons does have his contract running through, I believe, the 2025 offseason, I think, if memory serves. I want to double check that math on that actually really quick. So let's do. We go back here. Ben Simmons, 4 years. Yeah. So he runs all the way through the 2025 summer. So that would be a bit concerning, right? Having all that money tied up in Ben Simmons. But if his contract falls off at the same summer where there's a potential cap spike, and then maybe you have double the amount of money to throw around at free agents, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was cool. I wanted to highlight it. We're going to keep discussing the John Wall situation. I want to dive into some actual permutations and potential trades and, you know, what could happen there, as well as some wild tinfoil hat theories and stuff about where he could end up past just the, you know, kind of the boring answer of, you know, he's probably just going to sit and maybe get bought out further down the line, because that's no fun, right? That's no fun. It's fun to speculate on some of the other crazy stuff that could happen. We will have the Podfather himself, one Bindu Bose, joining us on our very next episode. So be on the lookout for that one. But for today's show, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast, free and available on every single platform, Google, Apple, Spotify, the brand new Odyssey app, you name it, free and available. Locked On Rockets podcast. Just search it wherever you listen to your pods. We'd sincerely appreciate it. But again, for today's episode, that's going to do it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.